our fate is sure. God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today. From God our Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. Now we're talking about animals during this Lenten series. I want to talk today about some of the animals that God uses in the animal kingdom as images for you. What kinds of animals does God use to describe mankind? Well, I begin in Isaiah chapter 1. In verse 3, Isaiah scolds Israel, saying, "The ox knows its owner, and the ass its master's crib. But Israel does not know, and my people does not understand." So the first thing is an ox and an ass. Even they are smarter than people. At least they know their master, but Israel does not know the Lord their God. How about another one? In Ezekiel chapter 34, God laments for his people, saying, "My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or to seek for them." So you are like sheep. Again, sort of a dumb animal. Wandering over hill and dale, but the good sheep follow the shepherd. And you also remember what John the Baptist said in Matthew, and perhaps also in Luke, where he scolds the Pharisees and the Sadducees, saying, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" So God uses images from the animal kingdom to describe people, to help us to understand ourselves. Ox, ass, sheep, and vipers for the unbelieving in heart. But how about God? Does God use images in the animal kingdom to describe himself to us? Well, there are times in the Bible he refers to himself as the lion of Judah. Sometimes as the lamb of God, like a sheep. But you know what? The most prominent theme, an image for God that I see coursing through the scriptures like a golden thread is that of a great bird watching over its young. Let me give you a couple examples of that. Let's look, for example, at, I think I put the wrong one down. Let me check it out. Deuteronomy 13, verses 9 and following. Oh, I was correct. "For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob his allotted heritage. He found him in a desert land, in the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled him and he cared for him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions, the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no foreign god with him. He made him, that is Israel, ride on the high places of the earth." Is this how you see God in your relationship with him? He describes himself for you like a great and mighty eagle, causing you to ride upon his wings upon the high places of the earth, fluttering over you, protecting you, providing you, and you being the eaglets, if you will, the chicks of God. Well, God uses the same kind of image, Jesus does, that is, who is God in the flesh, in Matthew chapter 23, when he says this, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not." So God, the Almighty Living God who is alive today and with us in this sanctuary, says, "I am like a hen that gathers her brood under her wings." And when it says there in the Bible, "how often I would have gathered you in this way," that word in the Greek for "I would have" is thelo, which means "I desire, I want. It is my pleasure to do so." This is God's wish to gather you and all people under his wings every day as a protecting, providing, and prospering mother hen, adult great eagle bird, watching over you. You think that's a strange image, though? An image of a hen for God? And you think, a hen? A hen is a weird, silly little creature. Why would God choose a hen to describe himself? Well, I think Luther gives us a little insight into this. And I'll just quote to you from Luther for a second, where he says it's a beautiful image from the Lord. Here he says, "Now behold how the hen acts. There is hardly an animal that takes such an interest in its young ones. She changes her natural voice and assumes a sorrowful and lamenting call. She seeks. She scratches on the ground. She coaxes the chicks. Whenever she finds anything, she does not eat it, but leaves it for the chicks. With all seriousness, she fights and calls against the hawk. And she and extends her wings so willingly and permits the chicks to crawl under her and upon her. It is a fine, pleasing picture. Thus also Christ assumed a sorrowful voice, has lamented for us and preached repentance, has shown to everyone his sin and woe with all his heart. He opens up, like wings, the beauties of Scripture, coaxes us in and permits us to eat, and spreads his wings with all his righteousness, merit, and mercy over us, and takes us under him in such a friendly manner, warms us with his heat, that is, with the Holy Ghost, who comes only through him, and fights for us against the devil in the air, the hawk." Isn't that a beautiful image? God describes himself as a hen for a very special purpose. And I think when he made hens, he put into them his characteristics. So is this how you see yourself with the Lord? Taking refuge under the shelter of his wings, as it says countless times in the Scriptures. For example, Psalm 91, "Blessed are those who take refuge under his..." I'll open up instead of relying on my memory right at the moment. Seems to be failing me. But he says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge." And that image is seen throughout the Scriptures time and again. For example, Psalm 17, "Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me in the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me." And Psalm 51, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in thee my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of thy wings I take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by." God bids you to have this kind of a relationship with him. But is this the kind of relationship with him that you have? I think, personally, this image of you being chicks gathered under the wings of the great eagle, God, is really an image that smacks against everything we're taught in this culture. When you get to the American ideal, what's the American ideal? Self-reliance, right? Henry David Thoreau, Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote of it. You have the cowboy on the range in yesteryear. You have the hero of today. Everybody says, I am an American. I rely on my own strength. By my own strong right hand, I have succeeded. Does that sound familiar? Remember just a few moments ago, we read about the king of Assyria who conquered the whole known world, saying, by my wisdom I did this, by my might I did this, and no one opened a wing against me. I snatched the eggs by my own strong hand. And God rebukes him, saying, can an axe vaunt itself over against the one who wields it? In other words, Assyria was simply the tool in God's hand, and yet here's the axe, proclaiming that it did all the work rather than the one who swung it. So, is this the way you see your relationship with God? Taking refuge under the shelter of his wings? Or are you going to go rely upon your own knowledge, your own wisdom, and your own strength? I remember when I was in seminary at St. Louis, Every year there is a beautiful duck, Betty, you've probably seen this, that's out there in the little center quad. There's a square fountain. It raises its brood there. And every year, all the seminarians gather with the families to see the beautiful mallard duck with her 12 children. And then the next week, her 10 children. And the next week, her 6 children. And eventually, hopefully, a few of them survive, but oftentimes, not even one does. And the reason is because there's a raccoon around, a snake perhaps, a cat, and what happens is those little chicks just wander away, getting too far from the mother, and the mother, for all her might, can't keep them. But God says to you today, it shall not be so among you. How often I would. And so we ought to run under the shelter of his wings. For if you think about it, God has the desire to provide, protect, and take care of you in every need. He has the power to provide, protect, and care for you in every need. And he will keep his word on that. But he calls us then to take refuge in our every trouble. So if today you're having any financial trouble or a relationship trouble or a health problem and your heart is beginning to fill with fear and anxiety, that would be an indication to you to run under the shelter of God's wings, because under his shelter you have a perfect Savior who will take care of you in your every need, and he has promised to do so. And you will not be like those ducks where all you see left is something like this. But rather, you might grow up and get feathers like this. And so, in all things, then, God is a great eagle, a mother and a father to us. And he has provided for us, especially in his cross, a shelter even from sin, even from the devil, the hawk in the air, and even from death, to provide for you a perfect refuge forever and ever. So will you go under his wings today? I would invite you, as we conclude this sermon, and I'll give you about a minute in silence, take whatever cares that you have, whatever concerns and anxieties and fears may be gripping your heart today, and I want you to picture yourself under his wings. And after that, we'll sing a hymn.